If you would turn up the house light so I can see out here, I'd appreciate that. Maybe Larry can do that. He's right there. But if somebody turn up the house lights, I'd appreciate it. Most of you know that I recently celebrated a birthday, and somebody sent me a card. Your birthday reminds me of the old Chinese scholar, Yung No Mo. Hope your birthday is great. That's the truth. I'm young no more. I'm not over the hill. I'm not. If you would turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, we are finally finishing up this great chapter that we have been looking at for several weeks. It is one of the most profound chapters, I think, in all of Scripture, because Jesus deals with marriage, he deals with children, he deals with how hard it is for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God, because they have a tendency to make riches their wealth, their God. He's dealt with the disciples who have given up everything to follow him, and he is told what his future is, Jesus has, and it's quite a passage. So we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 10 tonight, the last few verses. On Friday morning, we have a Friday morning men's group that meets at 5:30. And we go from 5:30 to 7 o'clock in the morning, and we have about, 8 to 12 guys who come on a pretty regular basis. It's one of the places that I love to be at. I feel like it, hopefully I minister to them, but they really minister to me too. And it's been a long time. I think we started that in 1996 or something like that, and any man is welcome on any Friday morning. But I usually start the morning out by asking a question. And this past Friday, yesterday, I asked the question, if you could pick out one characteristic that you especially admire in others, what would that characteristic be? And we had, we had patience mentioned, we had forgiveness mentioned. There were a lot of different answers there that are really good. And what we're going to see tonight in this passage in Mark chapter 10 is we're going to see the Heavenly Father give Jesus, his son, an opportunity to practice what he preaches. And so, Lord, I pray that that's what would be true in our lives, that we would not only know what your truth teaches, but we would be people who practice that in our own lives and then share your truths with others. We realize that you give us tests. It's not a test to flunk us. It's just a test to let us know where we are. And so thank you for even giving your son an opportunity to practice the truths that he had just taught to his 12 apostles. And so may this passage tonight come alive for us as we look at these verses where somebody comes into Jesus' life that isn't probably very popular, and most people just kind of want to ignore such a person, but Jesus doesn't. And we thank you that you're that way with us, Lord. No matter what we're going through, no matter what tough relationships we have, that you are always there for us, and when we cry out for mercy, you are quick to respond. So thank you for the kind of God that you are. And we pray that we would learn more about you from these verses tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52 is our study. And we're going to look at a miracle tonight. It's the last healing miracle that the Gospel of Mark records. It's an excellent illustration of meeting a person where he or she is. And if you look at verse 46 with me, it says these words, "Then they came," and this is Jesus and the crowd and his disciples. "Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.'" He probably didn't say it just that way. He probably said, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up, he's calling for you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. In New Testament times, there were two Jerichos. One was old, more historic, and the other one was new, built during Jesus' time. In Jesus' time, someone said this, in Jesus' time, the old Jericho was largely abandoned, but the new one, extending to the south, was an attractive city. It had been built by Herod the Great, who had his winter palace there. About a mile apart, these two Jerichos, they were between the two cities. Jesus is walking out of the old Jericho and going into the new. And Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and the news that Jesus was on his way into Jerusalem, it would have created a buzz of excitement. Amazement and fear, we saw earlier, were the responses, the people's responses. There was amazement that Jesus was going to Jerusalem. There was fear that Jesus was going to Jerusalem, fear because he had been telling what was going to happen when he arrived in Jerusalem, that he was going to be rejected by the religious leaders, he was going to be mocked, he was going to be spit upon, he was going to the religious leaders would actually sentence him or condemn him to death. And then he would be handed over to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. And so many of his followers were afraid of what was going to happen. Matthew tells us there were actually two men. This one man's name is Bartimaeus. Probably Mark is focusing on the loudest or the best known or the person because of his name. I personally think it's because of his name, because the word Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus, and the word Timaeus means honor. And that's exactly what the two disciples that we were looking at last week were looking for. They were looking for honor. They wanted to be great. And he actually says the words twice here, son of Timaeus, or Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus, was a blind man who was sitting beside the road. Now, he was a beggar. Beggars were a common sight in Israel. They were also a nuisance to those who considered themselves more fortunate. They didn't like to see beggars. They thought something was wrong with those people, that they had to beg for income for their living. Many of the handicapped commonly made their living by begging. Someone wrote, "He sits in darkness, believing that his poverty and blindness are a curse, begging as the massive Passover crowds are pouring by." Here was a man who apparently, because of his words later, that he had once been able to see, and then he had lost his sight. And so here's this man sitting in darkness, begging as the massive Passover crowds are pouring by. Verse 47 says, "When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.'" The roads would just be packed with Passover people. There were people going to the Passover that was going to be celebrated in Jerusalem. That's what the crowd, the huge crowds, there were hundreds of thousands of people. Jews from all over the Roman Empire would come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover when God protected them and brought them out from their slavery in Egypt. And so the road was packed. So there had to be, you know, this buzz, this excitement. People would be quoting the Hallel, which is the Psalm 113, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. They would be quoting that as they're going. And so in order to get somebody's attention, he has to cry out. Because this man is desperate and he is persistent. He kept on crying out to Jesus. Son of David, have mercy on me. All Jews thought of King David as their father and of the Messiah, the Christ, as his son. And as a Jew, he rightly addressed Jesus as Son of David. I put on your handout, if you're following along with that, is this blind beggar sees what most of Israel can't. He's blind, but he still sees. He sees in Jesus the one that they've been waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years. And he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Please help me. I know I don't deserve it, but please help me. He's pleading with Jesus to heal him at once. And his prayers, it's the perfect prayer. If you never know what to pray, pray this, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's the kind of prayer that God hears. Jesus here, as this voice came kind of, you know, with the buzz around him, probably people talking and chanting the Psalms and singing and praising God, thanking him for his deliverance. Jesus heard this voice and he had a choice to make in terms of how he was going to respond to this man. And Jesus responded as the servant that he was. Remember last week we saw, how does a person become great from God's perspective? And the answer to that is that you need to be a servant of all and a slave of all. And so as Jesus had a choice to make in terms of how he's going to respond, he responds as the servant that he is. Remember his last words right before this passage, for even the Son of Man, referring to himself, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. As this guy is crying out, verse 48 says, many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept on crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And here's another little one who wanted Jesus' attention, but was, it's just like you'd seen the children earlier. Remember the kids came up to Jesus, the parents were bringing their kids to Jesus, and Jesus was welcoming them, and the disciples said, Jesus is too important for little kids. He's got other things on his mind. Don't bring your children to him. And Jesus says, you have to become like a child in order to enter into my kingdom. And here's a guy who's crying out, have mercy on me. So here's another little one who wanted Jesus' attention but was hindered by the crowd. The crowd was saying, shut up. Like a child, this man had no status in his world. Like many children, he probably was regarded as a nuisance, and the people didn't want any delay. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's got work to do there. Many thought he was going to set up his kingdom there. And so they were rebuking him severely. Hush, be silent. Why should you force your misery on the attention of this great prophet? And this man probably had... He probably had many experiences of no one responding to his call except maybe to tell him to shut up. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And verse 49 says, and Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up, he's calling for you. I put on your handout, when the cry comes from the heart, Jesus hears and responds. And the way he responds is he practices the servant leadership he had just told his disciples to practice. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, you must be servant and slave of all, even a blind beggar, even a little child. Jesus practiced what he preached. And the way Jesus responds to this man, this gives us hope for ourselves, and it's an example of how Jesus wants to respond through us. And I pray that we will be sensitive to these moments when God wants to shake us loose from what we're doing to notice who God wants us to hear. You see, what interruptions finally get your attention, and when they do get your attention, how do you respond? Do you respond as a servant, believing that God has brought this person into your life so that you can help him, you can love him? In Jesus' movement toward Jerusalem, he made time to serve this man in need. And so as I'm writing this message, and this was, I don't know, probably a couple of months ago. As I was writing this message, and I was kind of on a roll, and I felt like I was making good progress on it. It was making sense, and hopefully making God's word clear. A car came up our drive. It was already dark, and saw this car coming up our drive, and it turned out to be my grandson. And he was having problems with his car. And I realized I could have said, and this thought did enter my mind, don't bother me, I'm writing a message of God. I'm writing God's message here. Don't interrupt me, grandson. Now, fortunately, I didn't respond that way. Instead, I made the choice to help him work on his car. It had to be Jesus, because I am so handicapped on car repair. But you see, here I was planning to share this message with you this weekend, and God gave me a test. Okay, you're going to share this. You know this now. You understand this now. Are you going to practice servanthood? Or are you going to look at your grandson as an interruption? Hey, don't bother me. I've got more important things to do. And Jesus said to the crowd, call him here. In verse 49, they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up, he's calling for you. And throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. The mood of the crowd completely changes. Cheer up, come on, he's calling you. Jesus is calling you. And so he took this ragged outer garment that probably he collected, the coins in. And he threw that aside, and the Bible says he leaped or sprang up, and he came to Jesus. And when Jesus calls, don't ignore his call. No matter who you are or what your conditions, if Jesus calls you, spring up. Put aside anything that might be holding you back in any way, and spring up and come to Jesus. Respond as this man did. Seize the moment. And the guy comes to Jesus, and answering him, Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, we've heard this question before. It was back in verse 36. When Jesus was dealing with these two brothers who wanted the number one and number two position in Jesus' kingdom, "Lord, when you come in your kingdom, you're going to be sitting on the throne. We recognize that. And you've told us that we apostles are going to sit on thrones also, judging the tribes of Israel. We don't want positions 11 and 12. We want positions 1 and 2. Can one of us be on your right and the other one be on your left?" And they ask him, "Jesus, will you do for us whatever we want you to do for us?" And he asks this question, "What do you want me to do for you?" And this man was a man who was conscious of his blindness. I believe the way Jesus answers, it was both physical blindness, but also spiritual blindness. And this man has cried out for mercy, and now Jesus wants him to voice his real need. And Bartimaeus obviously trusted in Jesus' ability to heal him. Vocalizing this request made it specific, and really the way Jesus understood it, and it was true, it constituted a confession of faith in Jesus and his ability to heal. I trust that you, who you are, can heal me. And it's a complete submission to Jesus. And he answers him, "Rabboni," and it's an intensified form of the word rabbi. It's one of even greater respect. It's the highest, you know, usually just calling a person rabbi was a great honor, but Rabboni is even more intense. Greater respect. "Rabboni, I want to recover my sight. I want to see again." And in one sense, faith in Jesus had already made him a whole man. Notice Jesus' answer, "Go, your faith has made you well." And then he regained his sight. And Jesus, without any physical touch, told him that he's permanently well. Actually, it's literally saved. "Go, your faith has made you well," or saved you. And he takes another little one, like a child, blind beggar. He takes another little one into his presence. "Go," command, "go. Your faith has made you well." And the Bible says he regained his sight. No longer is he a blind beggar. Now all of a sudden he becomes an eager follower. His identity had changed. His direction had changed. He began a whole new path. It was a totally new way of life for him. Think of this. He had spent how many years? How many years? Begging, blind. But his identity changes and his direction changes, and he began this whole new path following Jesus down the road. All of a sudden, he's been going this direction in life, and all of a sudden, now he's going a completely new direction. He's a follower of Jesus. And it means he kept following him down the road. It gives us this picture of joyful Bartimaeus following Jesus in this huge crowd on its way to Jerusalem. I'm sure he's bouncing along. "I was blind, now I see. In more ways than one." According to Luke chapter 18, verse 43, immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. They recognized God was at work here. Jesus serving this man brought recognition that God is great. It's what he had just told his apostles to do. Be a servant to all. And so here a beggar became a disciple, a follower of Jesus. A blind man could now see. One can only imagine what the disciples thought when they saw this poor beggar unbidden join them on the road to Jerusalem. And you can also imagine Jesus' response. He loved it. There's a songwriter named Michael Card. He was famous back in the 80s and 90s, I believe, but he wrote a song, The Things We Leave Behind. And here's some of the words to that song. The sightless beggar, pleading each day, catching the coins in his robe. At finding Jesus, he threw it away and joyfully followed his Lord. But more than the robe that he left by the way, the darkness that dwelt in his heart went away. It's hard to imagine the freedom we find from the things we leave behind. And so you look at this passage and you look at Jesus and you realize here's the one who can meet all of our needs. If it's a physical problem and you need healing, Jesus can do that. He doesn't always do that. Sometimes he uses a person's handicap. But we need to turn to him anyway because we want his will more than we want anything else. And a question becomes, how is it evident in your life that you are turning to Jesus? Are you crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me? And another question becomes, do you want to see? Do you really want to see? If you do, then cry out for mercy to the one who can and will give you true healing. Whatever your need is, he will meet you there and do what's best. Or perhaps you don't even know you have a need. And the Lord might be using something to show you your need of him. And perhaps you're like a lot of people today. You're content in your blindness. You just want a little help along the way. You really don't want to see. Just help me as I am to get by. And so in this passage, Jesus stops for a blind man who wanted his mercy and to see. And so looking at this situation, not from your point of view, but for the blind beggar's point of view, but from Jesus' point of view, you know, how do you deal, how do I deal with the interruptions in your life? Which do you see these interruptions as God-given opportunities to practice servanthood or as a distraction to get rid of, ignore? In what areas do you need Jesus to exercise mercy and give you sight? And with what truth that you know is God presently testing you to see if you practice what you preach? As we went around the room answering those questions, that question, you know, what is a characteristic of a person that you especially admire? We talked about that God probably will test us in that area almost immediately, maybe that very day. If you say you admire patience, then God may give you an opportunity to practice it because you see that it's something that it's beautiful. or forgiveness. Our Father, we thank you for this passage. It's a profound one. And I pray that now as we are going to observe the Lord's Supper together, where we take some unleavened crackers and some grape juice and we realize what they symbolize for the Christian, the unleavened crackers represent the body of Jesus given for us on that cross. And when we drink a little bit of grape juice, it's what it symbolizes. It's important. It symbolizes that you, Jesus, shed your blood for us. And so you take two ordinary things that were common at meals during that time, and you make them have great meaning. And so we pray that as we spend this time in thinking about those areas in which we are being tested right now. Again, you don't test us to flunk us. You test us to show us that you can be trusted in all things. And so we just pray that you would use this passage in our lives and use this simple observance of all that the cross of Jesus meant. May this continue to have great significance in our lives as we remember and are grateful. And we pray these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Jesus, you're wonderful. Amen.